Welcome to Mission Possible You. This uplifting podcast delivers inspiration directly sprinkled into your ears. Fresh, crisp, new insights downloaded into your mind, leaving your body feeling replenished and energized. Lynn McDonald, the Mind Lady, is your host for Mission Possible You. She is obsessed about helping people from the inside out live and breathe the life they so desire and deserve better than imagined. Now, your guide for this journey of introspection, Lynn McDonald. Hey there, everyone. This is Lynn McDonald. Thanks for joining me for Mission Possible You, another really rock star type of podcast here once again. And this is a very important podcast for you to take notice and to really listen and open your heart, because I have a wonderful, wonderful woman here. She's an empowerment coach. She's positive. She inspires women. She works with women. And her name is Toni Bryant. So Toni, hon, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yay.
Yes, Mission Possible. Thank you. We're happy to have you. I'll come clean. I kind of was, following Toni, and I hunted her down and invited her onto the show, as I love to do with many guests. So she was gracious enough to make this happen. So before we talk a little bit, Toni, about, you know, you being an empowerment coach, and I know you must be absolutely fabulous, tell us a little bit about your story, because, you know, I bring people on here because they have such an important story to share that they went through, that now you're able to help people, because isn't that like what it's all about?
Right.
It's fascinating. Yeah. So share with our listeners your story.
Okay. Well, I like to start at the very beginning instead of trying to jump in the middle. So sure. I'll go through it really quickly. It's what started for me is as a child, actually. My mother was a single parent struggling with three kids. She was doing her best. She was going to school. She was working, and she met a guy at work, and he was recently divorced. He had five kids. And so I was really happy for my mom, like, because I seen her sacrifice so much for us, and to finally have someone do things for her, I thought, oh, this was just great. So he was showering her with gifts and affection, and he was buying us gifts and everything. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, because we didn't have a father figure in the home. So I thought everything was great. He eventually moved in and started coming into my bedroom at night. So when that happened, I was shocked. I was probably at that time about 11 years old when it started. And I don't know why I didn't say anything at first. You know, I thought about, well, how would my mother feel? You know, is this really happening? So I thought maybe it was something that I was doing wrong. And so I started trying to just not come home. You know, I would go stay with a friend. Well, eventually I couldn't take it anymore. And so I told my mom, you know, what he had been doing and that he's, you know, been touching me. And my mother didn't believe me. I was devastated. So I was like, well, I'm not staying here. So I ran away. I was about 13 at the time. I went and talked to, told a few of my aunts that I was close to. Basically, I was told the same thing. You know, just try to stay out of the way. Don't say anything. It's hard to be a single parent. He's doing so much for your family. I said, this is ridiculous. So I wasn't satisfied with that answer. So I would spend a night over at a friend's house. And if I didn't have anywhere to go, I would literally sleep at the park on a bench at this park called Mallory Park.
Oh my God.
But I loved school, so I would go to school, and I've always been this height, 5'8", since I was like 12 years old, so I was way taller than my friends, and so they would let me use some of their, wear some of their clothes, but the kids would make fun of me because it didn't really fit, or I had only one pair of pants, and my friends would let me wear their tops, and so I was like, you know what, I can't go to school. So I would go to school on Mondays to get my school assignments and go to school on Fridays to take my test. And I still had straight A's.
Oh my, good for you.
But I would spend most of my time at the library reading. And that doing that, it put a dream in me, you know, things that I wanted to be able to do. I wanted to have my own family. I wanted to be able to see the world. And that dream that I had, just going to the library, when I look back, I think that's what really saved me. So moving forward, I met a guy at school who told his mom about my situation, and I moved in with him. I was 14 years old. His mom let me live with them, so that was a relief. I wasn't on the streets anymore, but he was jealous and abusive. So I think that was honestly my first relationship where I was, you know, hit on. I got pregnant at 15, of course, and had my son at 16. Well, when I went, I didn't know how to breastfeed, so I had a lactation nurse. I don't know. I don't even remember the conversation that we had. But she said, wait a minute. And she went out, stepped out the room, came back in, and she had this pamphlet on domestic violence.
Wow.
Like, what are you giving me this for? You know? And so she's like, read it. So I'm reading it. And it's like, if the person, you know, pushes you, kick you, hold you down, tries to control you. I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
I go through that. But I didn't know that was domestic violence. To me, domestic violence is a man hitting you in the face and you get a black eye.
Right.
That's what I thought domestic violence was. So when I realized that, you know, I was in a domestic violence situation, but here I am, I'm a teenager with a kid. And I'm like, basically, without him, I'm homeless. So it got to the point where I told him I didn't want to be in a relationship anymore. It was just too abusive. I was tired of the bruises. And so he put a gun to my head.
Oh my goodness.
And so I told him, I said, you know what? Pull the trigger then. Because I'm not going to do what you say anymore. Thankfully he didn't pull the trigger, but I was very depressed. So here I am now, I'm homeless with a child. And going to stay with friends and family members. And my son, he was a newborn, so he was crying all the time. And I'm trying to keep him quiet so we don't get put out of people's houses. And so a school counselor told me about contacting the American Red Cross to ask for help. So that was my first time at a shelter. But actually before... Yeah, I went to the shelter, but I didn't stay. I probably stayed just a couple of nights because I was like, this isn't what I want. I was so depressed. So I ended up taking my son to his dad, and I took a whole bunch of pills to try to end my life. I, for whatever reason, called up my cousin and told her goodbye. And so she called the ambulance. So they rushed me to the hospital, pumped my stomach, and I was admitted to the on the mental ward. And that actually turned out to be a blessing.
I bet. Because, at this point, my goodness.
It turned out to be a blessing because I learned a lot about coping. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot about my situation. They actually helped me legally to become a legalized adult because I was only 17 at the time. So I was able to get my own place. I was able to get state assistance for me and my son because I was no longer under my mother's care. And so that really helped me. So now I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm excited. I got my own place. I'm not homeless anymore. And so one of my teachers reached out to me and was like, look, you really come to school. I think my attendance was like, out of the whole school year, I've made attended 41 days.
Is that right?
Yes. And so, but they said my scores were so high on my SATs. And so I was still able to get a partial scholarship at Ohio State. And so I decided to go to Ohio State, major in psychology, because I wanted to help other children like myself. My first year there, I met the man that I ended up marrying. I was married to him we were together for 20 years, and he was extremely abusive. He had never like really physically would do things, but he was emotionally, mentally, and financially and sexually abusive, which of course sexually is physical. But long story short, I decided to leave him. He tried to kill me and my daughter. And so we had to flee the state to get away until he was arrested and went to trial. And that was a lot. I went through a really deep depression again. I felt like, okay, maybe being loved is just isn't meant for me. Maybe, you know, being successful just isn't meant for me. Maybe it's something that I'm doing I don't realize that's causing all these people to hurt me, the ones that should be loving me. I just didn't understand. And so I had a really great primary care doctor. And she told me that she's like, look, if I have to come to your house and snatch you out of there, I will do it. I want you to go to counseling. I was like, I don't want to. And long story short, I did. And that was a turning point for me. She helped me to see that it was because of my childhood programming that caused me to feel that I wasn't loved. I never learned how to love myself. I never learned how to respect myself because of my environment. Yeah. And that it wasn't anything wrong with me. It was just simply my programming. And that the brain is so wonderfully and miraculously made. You can change your programming.
Oh, you're talking my talk now. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And you did.
I was like, I have a whole new life. I have a whole new perspective. And I was so excited. I decided to go back to school, take some classes. And I just naturally was just coaching, you know, for other women, other people. And one day, you know, someone, because I was like, I wanted to be a psychologist, but I was like, but I kind of want to be, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I wanted to work one-on-one with others. And actually, my best friend at the time took me to see this motivational speaker named Matthew Boggs. I didn't want to go. I didn't believe. I don't know what it is. I was like, I don't want to go. And she was like, you're going. You have to go. So I went. And that was another game changer for me. He helped me to see, you know, just changing my outlook and my perspective on things actually changes the outcome.
Yes.
And that I have control of that. I have control of that. And so I went to his seminar, and at the end of the seminar, he asked anyone in the audience what they would be willing to share. And so my friend was like, do it. I'm like, okay, fine. So I stood up and I shared, and he was like, wow. He was like, you can have my job. And so he was just so impressed. We ended up talking afterward, and he offered to coach me for free.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So he coached, but it was just for a short period of time, but it was enough for me to help me to see that in order to help others, I just have to help them to see it's their programming. They're not broken. They're not worthy of abuse. They're not worthy of being mistreated, but you have to believe that in yourself first.
Yes.
You set the tone for how everyone else will treat you. It sounds so cliche, but the greatest love of all really is loving yourself.
Exactly. Love is the answer. And when we have self-love, self-worth, self-respect, we never allow that. But you've touched on so many great things. But the biggest one is, you're right, you can't change your brain, neuroplasticity. You know, how we grow up, we're molded in a sense that we were talking about off camera here, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And 0 to 7. And we learn from, you know, our parents, our main caregivers. And, you know, you've learned, your mind found that connection And that's, you know, why you ended up attracting that, so to speak, because that's what your brain was familiar with. But again, you're right. It's, you know, I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. I'm not lovable. I'm not good enough. The four, you know, root causes why we do what we do, but we don't even realize it. And when you can go inside and heal all that, and we're not broken by any means. And when we just go in and heal that, you're absolutely right. We take our life back. And we never, ever allow that into our life ever again.
Exactly.
Exactly what you're doing. Wow.
And it's been amazing. So I started coaching back in 2017. I was working on writing a book. Actually, two books. One is for children. I want children to be able to know what steps to take. To know the signs themselves and what steps to take if someone touches them, in a way that makes them feel uncomfortable. I always teach, never go to family. I hate to say that, but I've learned from so many women that they go to family and they don't get the help that they need. So I always teach to go to someone, authority in school. Because you'll get the help, they have to report it. And it's sad, but their safety is more important than the family's pride or shame or guilt. So that was one of the books that I'm working on. And I had moved to the Cleveland area and I went to a networking event, and because I'm so excited about my new career path, and I met a guy there who's also a motivational speaker. He's also a published author. He offered to mentor me. Well, long story short, he was the worst of the worst. And so a lot of people use the word narcissist freely, when in actuality, narcissist is actually from, it can come from three different disorders. One is NPD, narcissistic personality disorder, which primarily a lot of women or I should say people, because men deal with it too. Most people are NPDs. That's the largest group. Then the next is social disorder, antisocial disorder. That usually comes from a person, like you said, they either went through something traumatic as a child. They were either abused or neglected themselves. Whereas, let me back up, with NPD, that usually, ironically, comes from children who are pretty much spoiled. They're not disciplined. They given too much, so they don't learn consequences. But antisocial disorder is usually from abuse or neglect, having a parent or caregiver who's abusive. And then the third category, it's the rarest, but is usually the most dangerous, and that's a sociopath. And sociopaths, they're born that way. And so the main trait of a narcissist in either three categories is that lack of empathy or absolutely no empathy whatsoever as a sociopath. So everything they do is they groom their victims. They choose their victims based on how it makes they themselves.
Right.
Who likes to take a lot of selfies? And not true. It's just that they see themselves as the whole entire universe and they use people as supply.
So you've gotten a whole wealth of information on this. So obviously this whole path for you has been years and years and years. And to say the least, you've learned so much about yourself. Mm-hmm. And so what this whole thing obviously has caused you to look within. And so how, if someone out there even listening to this, what is one piece of advice or tip that you can give someone dealing with this right now, you know, for to going inside to begin to heal themselves?
Okay. Well, usually a lot of women, or I hate to say women because I know it goes both ends, but I work with women, but usually they start questioning everything. Like, why is this happening? Is this person abusive? And a lot of times I'll hear women, they'll say, you know, I looked online or I talked to somebody that says, that sounds like a narcissist. So when we talk about grief, you know, people talk about the stages of grief and, you know, first is denial and stuff. So I like to use questions that you will say as you're going through these stages. And the first question that you'll ask is, okay, is my partner a narcissist? So you start trying to do research and try to compare the traits to your thing. And then the second one is, okay, I really believe they're a narcissist. So can he get help? Can he change? And then the third question when you realize that no. And then the third one is, well, can I change? Is there anything that I can do? Maybe I can stop irritating him or upsetting him. Maybe I can avoid things to cause him not to be abusive. And then, of course, the next question, when you realize that you have no control over what someone else does, the next question is, okay, how do I get out?
Exactly.
How do we get out of this?
Right.
And then the next, of course, is, okay, I've gotten out. I want them back. This is painful. You know, the trauma bonding is the most treacherous part to deal with. And then when you realize, okay, I can't go back, and forgive yourself if you do. It's a process. This is what I keep telling everyone. It's a process. And then, of course, the next step is once you've gotten through, you've left, you got through that trauma bond, a lot of questions were asked, okay, now that I don't want them back, but will I ever get my life back? You know, now your body, you've been in a fight and flight mode for
yes.
most people for years. And you have to realize that your body now has to repair.
Yes, that's true.
You have to repair. And so do not be hard on yourself. It's a process. First and foremost, leave.
Right.
Leave. You cannot heal while you're still in a toxic.
No, not at all. Any type of major change like that or anything in our life, we can't keep anything the same unless when we, you know, facilitate change in our life, something has to change. Absolutely. So the women that you work with, they have been through this type of, so you focus specifically on women that have gone through what you've gone through.
Right. When I initially started in 2017, I actually worked with women who are adult survivors of child abuse, because what I've learned is that most of the women who are victims of domestic violence are also survivors of childhood abuse. And so I was catering to that, because a lot of them didn't see the connection. But then as I went through this, as I continued to grow in my own, I realized that there's another type of abuse that's systematic and deliberate, and that's narcissism. And it's an epidemic that's on the rise. It's estimated that over 60 million victims every year. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing the lack of resources and help and knowledge there is. So I have been so passionate, because narcissistic abuse can usually lead to murder, either through suicide or from him directly killing. Women die from domestic violence more than breast cancer or anything else.
Is that right? I did not realize that.
Yes,
I don't think many people do. That's an amazing statistic.
It is sad. And I didn't know that either, in that I believe it's 70% of calls to the suicide hotline is from women who are in domestic violence situations.
So what is, you have so much knowledge, obviously, how could someone reach out to you who needs your assistance? Where can our listeners contact you, Tony? I could be here for another hour.
Chatting. Okay.
Oh my goodness. So tell us a little bit about how they can reach out to you.
Well, they can reach out to me through Facebook. Right now is Tony Bryant on Facebook. My page is public. All my information is on there. You can reach out and you can message me. I have groups on Facebook for support.
Oh,
and nice. I also offer coaching, one-on-one coaching.
Beautiful. Oh, so you have a regular private Facebook group that you've set up?
Yes.
Awesome. So do you help, you support the women that way as well?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. And my therapeutic group on Facebook is free.
Awesome. Very, very nice. So someone would have to contact you in order to get into that group, or you give out the group name, or you don't do that.
The link is directly on there because I do screen before I let in, because you would be amazed.
I used to run big groups. I understand.
So I do screen before I let anyone in the group.
Well, listen, you have been an amazing wealth of knowledge. Thank you so much for, agreeing to come on the show. And I knew that you had a fabulous story. I say fabulous, but a story it is unbelievable to share, because I know right now that you are definitely helping people, women out there, men, some men also, but this needs to fall on people's ears. And thank you so much for coming on and being brave and courageous and sharing your story and changing your life. You're an inspiration.
Thank you. I appreciate being on here.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much. Thanks everyone for tuning in to Mission Possible You. Stay tuned, because each Wednesday we bring you a brand new guest. This is Lynn McDonald. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Mission Possible You with your host, Lynn McDonald. This uplifting podcast, delivering inspiration directly sprinkled into your ears each week, helping you to live your best life better than you could have imagined. Connect with us on social media, and please remember to subscribe.